By the time I started elementary school, my world, the place that I would forever call home, was with my father and my stepmother. We had our routine firmly set. Every morning, my father was the first to trundle off to work. He'd grab his lunchbox and tool belt and head off to his job as a carpenter. My stepmother would fill the house with the smell of perfume as she dressed smartly for her work as a teacher. My sister and I would stand at the end of our long country driveway and wait for our dusty yellow school bus to take us to school. We'd all come home to the same rituals each evening. My father would do the chores, feeding all the dogs, cats, and horses. My stepmother would make dinner, and we girls would be busy with our homework. On the surface, it was a picture of the Rockwellian life. Life was simple and routine during the week, but the weekends were the days I longed for. When we stayed home, Dad might take us fishing, or we might go with him on an adventure to the lumberyard. Like in the days before he remarried, the weekends were our special time to nurture our bond, a father and his two girls. On alternate weekends, the same would happen in my mother's world. Off we would go for a glorious 48 hours of her undivided attention. We might go camping with our grandparents or on a picnic. When my mother remarried, she would go on to have my two little sisters. There would always be something fun for all of us to do together. I loved both my families, but I struggled to make sense of the growing tension I felt between them. I was becoming aware of how it felt to divide my affections. At school, I noticed that most of the other children lived with their mothers, even if their parents were divorced. When I talked about it with my mother, she tried her best to explain how our lives had come to this place. "Why," I would ask, "can't I live with you like other kids live with their moms?" My questions tore her heart out. She did her best to explain to a young girl how child custody works and how, if she had any choice, that things would be different. For the time being, I would have to try and understand that our lives were based on a court decision, not hers. The best she could offer was that when we were old enough, 12 years old to be exact, then the courts would let us choose. When I brought my anxieties up to my father, the answer was different. He never discussed our situation much. "This is just the way things are." All this began to weigh on me in the form of agonizing guilt. When I was about 6 years old, I became aware of how grateful I was to return back to the routine of my father's world at the end of our weekends away. I loved growing up on our farm. I enjoyed the excitement of going to school and all my friends there, but I also loved spending time with my mom. I had no clue as to how to manage the feelings of loss watching her drive away each weekend. If I loved her, wouldn't I want to be with her? I loved my dad, too. I didn't want to not live with him. With every visitation trade-off, I'd wade through the tears of my split affections. I loved them both. I wanted things to be different. I loved each life with equal measure, but I was a little girl, unable to put into words how difficult this was to manage. The cost of this emotional struggle was starting to creep into our family psyche. As the halcyon days of my father's new marriage faded into everyday life, and the visitation schedule taking its toll, my stepmother and I were clearly struggling.